So now we are live and recording. Get the right folder this time. So collections. Collections to me is... It's what it's all about. It's about getting the money. And as easy as it sounds and as undervalued as it is, it's probably one of the hardest jobs of all. Isn't it? So there's a few things that make it hard. Most people, before they come on a course, think that the hardest part of collections is dealing with customers. In my experience, the hardest part of collections is getting your own guys to do it right to start with. Wouldn't that be true? Because if they would only put the right price on the damn invoice to begin with, then our lives would be so much easier. So collections is not easy. And when you think that everything has to be absolutely right in order for the customer to pay, the credit controller is the person who has to make sure it's right. And that's your job. And just, I suppose, another benefit of being in a room like this today is just even meeting other credit controllers. Because if you're on your own in credit control, it can be lonely enough. Yeah? And probably you spend half your day fighting with people. True. And just knowing you're not going mad. I remember I started as credit manager in a very large company. I seemed about 25 at the time. And I'm very proud of myself because, you know, normally when you're faced with a situation, 2 days later you think I should have said that, you know. Whereas this was once I actually had it on the spot. And it was very important that I had, because it was a big open plan office and all my team were in the office and it was my first day. So they were all looking at me suspiciously thinking, who's this guy now who's going to ruin our lives, you see. And so I went around and shook hands and met them all. I was walking across the you know, beside the office in the general office with the managing director who was bringing me on the tour. And who walks in but the sales director? Yeah? Sales director. Big, gregarious man, you know, oh, offy, hello, how are you? You're one of these guys, a great character. And so as we were walking through the corridor, in the middle of the office, we met him anyway, and he said, this is Declan, the new credit manager. And you know what he said? Before he even opened his mouth, or said hello, welcome, or anything, you know what he said? Oh, this is the man I'll be fighting with from now on, is it? Like, that was his introduction to me. You know, this is the man I'll be fighting with from now on. And I just looked at him and shook his hand and I said, well, if we're not fighting, one of us isn't doing our job. Because, and you know where I'm coming from. If he accepts all my decisions, he's not a sales manager. And if I accept all his decisions, I'm not a credit manager. So we have to fight. Of course we do. And as long as we're fighting for what's in the best interest of the business, that's what it's all about. Anyway, that's part of the joys. So collections, though, is very much focused on getting the money. All right? So again, now there's... I know you might be looking at this and saying there's seven. There's seven sections. There is only four modules. So a few things that we want to cover off. Certainly the role of collector. Now, because this is an academic course, I will apologise in advance. We cover off consumer credit and we cover off trade credit. So there's two different types of credit. One is where you're giving credit to other businesses, and one is where you're giving credit to individuals. So because it's a course, we have to cover both. So some of it might have be no relevance to you whatsoever. So most of it will. I think most of you are involved in trade credit. Is that true? You're business to business. You do a bit of both.
Yeah.
Okay. And what you'll find as you go through the course, they are the exact opposite of each other. So what I will tell the people who are doing business with other businesses to do, and what I would tell people who are dealing with consumers to do, is the exact opposite. So you might think it's credit control, it's the same. No, it isn't. In business-to-business credit control, it's all about relationships. It's all about getting to know the person at the other end of the phone, building relationships with them. That's the... Now, can we build relations on emails? Yes, we can. Most of it's done, you know, telephone, you know, whatever. So to me, credit control is, and collections in particular, it's about being nice. And I know people think of credit controllers, like these guys who drag their knuckles along the ground, and debt collectors. And I've met some pretty gruff and pretty angry credit controllers in my day. It doesn't work. Did you ever see the program on telly called Can't Pay, Will Take It Away? I think I should have a module just, you know, to make that compulsory viewing for all in credit. Have you seen it?
Yeah.
Have you? Ah, here. So, so for the benefit that you haven't seen it, so you'll find it's on TV3 or it's on Three or yeah, whatever. And so it's funny. It's called Can't Pay, Will Take It Away. And effectively, it's the television cameras. It's a reality program where the cameras follow these High Court enforcement officers in the UK. Okay. Now the first thing that makes me jealous. That they have
they
High Court enforcement officers.
Yeah.
In this country, we are still the Wild West over here, so we have no enforcement. Getting better.
Yeah.
And we'll talk a bit about that later on. There are actually, we have, where they have bailiffs over there and High Court enforcement officers, we have sheriffs. Did you know that we have?
Yeah,
yeah, but
are they
they're
really
invisible, are they? Do they really exist? They do in Cork. There's a new lady's taken over in Cork. And apparently she is wonderful. I'm hearing great reports about her. Of course, give the job to a woman if you want to talk.
Yes,
yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be great. Give the job to a car
person. Anyway, she is out on her own, so I'm getting great reports from Cork. That, so, and what the sheriffs or the bailiffs do is they enforce the judgment. So if I get a judgment against you for $5,000 and you fail to pay the $5,000, you know, what do we do with it? Now, you learn that in law. But in England, you give it to these High Court enforcement officers, and they go into the house to get the $5,000. Or they could go into the house to put people out. You know, so if a tenant hasn't paid their rent for 6 months, they get a High Court order of eviction to put the people out on the side of the road, and the bailiff, the High Court enforcement officers, turn to do that. So it's a pretty hard job, you know, you can imagine. And the cameras follow them around. Now look, we're seeing edited highlights. I'm not that stupid. I'm sure they have some disasters. The ones we get to see on the telly, generally successful. And if they come to evict somebody, they are gone. End of, gone. Okay, so I love the way they handle situations. And from a credit control perspective, I think it's hugely beneficial. So, now you won't watch the whole, I've never watched the whole program. You just flick on and you carry one story, because usually 7 or 8 stories, and you follow one or two, and then you get bored of it. So it's not a riveting thing that you sit down for 4 hours and view. So the one thing, though, that I think, and hopefully in the clip that you watch, what I think is absolutely fantastic is that the guys arrive in, and they say, look, you haven't paid your rent in 6 months, and we're here to evict you. And they say, oh, we're here to evict you, and you have to leave today. Right? And then what it says. And what happens is, at the end of the process, they usually, cameras interview the people. So the people are now on the side of the road with whatever hand baggage they have, which is probably one of everybody's worst nightmare in terms of nightmare scenarios. And what they will always say is, yeah, you know, blah, that's right. And you know, the lads were so nice. Be conscious of that next time you watch it. And the lads were so nice. And they are nice. And they will arrive in, and yes, they have a High Court writ to evict you, you have to go. Yeah, so that's a given. Now, they'll give you numbers for social services and tell you where to get to the council and what to do and what not to do and keep your stuff safe, you come back and make arrangements to collect it. And so, the point is, they do care about the people that they're dealing with. You know, and they are so nice to the people. And a lot of people would think, how could you be nice to people and put them out on the side of the road? You can do both. And also, you might think, from a collections perspective, how could I take money off people and be nice to them? You can do both. And one of the things that I will advise you in this course is, and as you're doing collections from now on, to separate, in a collections environment, there are two things going on. Number one, there is the person that you are talking to. And number two, there is the money that they owe you. they are two different things. Sometimes they get mixed up together. Did you ever have a customer who annoyed or upset you? See, that's a stupid question because everybody who's ever worked in credit control has. True? Mm. So, the point about this is, and to become really good at collections, you have to focus on the money. And if you are getting upset, that's an indicator that if I am getting upset, now there's two things. Number one, you are focusing on their behavior. Obviously, isn't that true? So if you're getting upset, you are focusing on their behavior. You are not there to focus on their behavior. Their behavior is their stuff. Are you with me? And if they are an ignorant, horrible person, that's their problem. Okay? So we separate the person that we're dealing with, no matter how horrible they are, from the money they owe. And I'm here to get the money. I'm not here to get you. Oh, I'd like to. you understand? So if you can separate that in your head, suddenly it makes the job, and this is where these High Court forms of law, they're here to enforce a writ, they're going to enforce it, but they're as nice as possible for the people. Because some people see the people as the problem. They are not. The people and the money are two separate things. Get it? So that's your first lesson in collections. So we'll go through the role of collector, the importance of credit, that's just through that. Financial literacy is in the first module. Sorry, I want to say one other thing there about the people and the problem and getting upset. And maybe this will probably be worth coming out this morning. You all said there are people out there who can upset and annoy you. Yes, did I see everybody nodding or whatever. Okay, can I just let you in on a super secret? And that is this. People can only annoy you if you give them permission. You see, there's what they say and do. And there's how you react to what they say and do. They are two different things as well. So you can say something horrible to me, and I can choose to react or I can choose not to. Get it? And once you know this is a conscious choice I am making to get upset, or this is a conscious choice I'm making not to be upset. And a lot of people use anger and aggression as a tactic to protect their money. And if I can shout and use bad language to you and you put down the phone and you're afraid to ring me, I get to keep my money. You know, so for some people it can be a tactic. And for some people it works. People are in fear of them. Until now. You can say whatever you want to say. You can use whatever language you want to use, because I've heard it all at football matches. Yeah? And the thing is not to take it personally yourself. Not to... They don't know who you are from Adam. So why should you take it personally? There was a great thing recently, I don't know whether you saw it, talking about asking stupid questions, and I'm very good at asking stupid questions. It's my favourite thing in the world. Are you ready for a really stupid question? Here it is. Imagine you had €36,400 in the bank. Would that be nice? Having €36,400 free and clear in your bank account right now. Okay, so that'll be nice. So if you did have that, say if somebody came and nicked €10 on you. Yeah? They robbed a tenner on you. Now you have €36,400, they robbed a tenner. Question. Would you get so upset with them for robbing the tenner that you would go to the bank, take out the €36,390 and throw it at them and say, there, take it out. Is that a stupid concept? Would you even think about doing it? Okay. By coincidence, there are 36,400 minutes in a day. Seconds in a day. Get it? So if somebody annoys, hurts, or upsets you for 10 seconds, why give them the whole day? It just doesn't make sense. And there are people who can just ruin our whole day. Permission denied. End up. I'm not giving you permission to ruin my day. Thank you very much. Can I have the money? My favourite question in collections, and I give this to you right from the outset. It's somewhere buried in the notes. Are you ready for my favourite question in collections? How would you like to pay? And the more I think, that is just a genius question, because you can say it with a smile on your face, there is no anger or aggression, and that's pointed on the money. Are you with me? So tell me, Joe, how would you like to pay? And then you stay quiet and wait for an answer. Because they have to answer you. Yeah? Anybody who has used that are amazed at how easy it becomes. Yeah? So come on, let's make this job easy. Let's take it as a challenge. You know, and if you look at it, that he owes me the money. My job is to get it. He wants to hang on to it for as long as he can, which is reasonable enough. Now, let the game begin. Let's see who's going to win this. And if we set up each call as a little challenge to ourselves.
Rather, oh, do you have 57 calls to make? Hello, can I speak to your accounts department?
You know, 2049 now. You know, if you're in that mindset, credit control is the worst job in the world. Find something else to do. Get out. Okay? If you get the buzz when money comes in, yes. Gotcha. Brilliant. Or damn, I'm good. So you have to get this feeling of satisfaction. Are you with me? So that's what the collections module is all about. So how do I get to that? From the start of the call to the end of the call. So that's fair enough. So the role of credit, we're going to talk about your role, the importance, understanding credit terms and credit limits. That's only an overview. We get more in-depth in them in the credit management module, which is fine. And then dealing with sales and other departments. So how do we deal with these guys? Okay? Do you want the quick heads up on that? Quick heads up on that is this. Right, salespeople are a disaster. Right, absolute 100% disaster. Everywhere, whatever, so that is fine. Here's the thing though. There is a few... Everybody on the planet is different, so there's a lot of variables. There are 1,038 human universals that everybody follows. You know, so things, and this is where I base a lot of my stupid questions on. So like, for example, people tend to believe that positive is better than negative. Being positive is better than being negative. So that's a general belief. People, you know, believe. But the other human universal is that people will do whatever they think they will be better off by doing. So if you think you'll be better off doing something than not doing it, you will do it. True? So that is a universal. If you think I'll be better off, you don't care. Not true. So salespeople, by their nature, are the most selfish people on the planet. And the better they are at sales, the more selfish they are. And the better they are at sales, the worse they are at paperwork. Yeah? So, look, we recognize that. And their job is to sell. So when I'm talking to salespeople, it's not about, oh, look, I have a query on this invoice. Yeah? It's, Joe, you're the sales rep for these guys. Yeah? Joe, I did this on a guy once, you should have seen the reaction. Joe, is your reputation important to you? See, is that a stupid question? Like, there's not a person on the planet who's going, no, I don't care about my... So, is your reputation important? Oh, yeah. And having a good name is important, yeah. See, the problem is, when you go in and tell them you'll sell something to them for 20 quid, and I send them out an invoice for 30, they either think you're incompetent or dishonest. Now, is that how you'd like your customers to think about you? See what I've done there? I have made the price query about his credibility with his customer. Don't do me, I'm under credit control. Now, I put through the credit. Now, I'm not going to keep putting through credit notes because, you know, I'm not trusting them like that. Get it? And now it's in his interest to get it right, not in yours. And that's very important. So we keep this to the uppermost of our mind. So when I'm approaching anybody with a credit problem or a query or an issue that has to be resolved, I will frame it in a way that means they'll be better off by doing it. You know, because Joe, if this isn't sorted by Friday, you know yourself, things won't stop. And like, you want to make sales next week to them, don't you? Yeah, so look, can you rattle the page and make sure that's here by 11 o'clock on Friday? Because it's in his interest to get the money, not mine. And that's how, call it devious, works. So I will make sure everybody works. So that's that. Verbal communications. Words. Oh boy. We use some terrible words. And we use them all day long. And the thing is, the words we use paint pictures in the minds of the people who are listening. And we have to be conscious of the words we're using and the pictures we're painting. Yeah? So, in the verbal communications at the start of it, it is probably my favourite section. So, good words and bad words and good questions and bad questions. Is that okay? So, I want you... And there's a huge life lesson in here as well. It's buried in there. I want you to find it. So that is that. Just to give you a prelim to that, because you're going to work on Monday and you won't have these notes read by then. The worst question you can ask a customer is, why haven't you paid me? And you know what? I don't care why. And you shouldn't either. And if you... So, can you imagine for a moment, we're here. Yeah, we're here. And anything that we want to achieve is there in the future. True? So if everything I want to achieve from here is in the future, then why would I go back into the past? And if I ask a customer, why haven't you paid me? I am asking that customer for an excuse and a reason. And then the customer gives me an excuse and a reason. I'm going, yeah, I heard that one before. She's like, fed up of listening to people's excuses and reasons. And the reason you're getting the excuses and reasons is because you're asking for them. So can you tell me why I paid? Oh, wait, no, my mother was very sick and then I had to go to England for... Do I care? Like, I know you do care on a human level and you'd love to have time to care about everybody. You've worries of your own that you're more interested in that take up most of your time. Get it? So ask him why, stupid question. Ask him how. So how are you going to clear this? So how are you going to pay this? How are we going to sort this out? Get it? Now, a how question is solution focused, brings them into the future for a solution. You know, so it's that kind of thinking. And I'm going to let you wait and read. The one thing I want to point out for you is there is one word that is the worst word in the world, bar none. And it upsets me because it is a question on one of the short tests. What is the worst word? And it's the one that most people get wrong. So I'm giving you a chance here. They put down bad words, all right. The worst. There's one that is so bad, it's ruining your lives right now. Is that okay? So watch for that one. So, voice. So it's not just what we say, it's how we say it. So how you communicate with your voice and being conscious of that. Speaking of which, yeah, I am. Most people hate hearing their own voices back on recorders. No harm. You know, just to hear what other people are hearing, because that's what other people are hearing is what's on the recorder. Getting it right. Also getting your speed right. If you speak too quickly, people will confuse that with being nervous. If you speak too high pitch, people will not take you seriously. Hello, John Stanley, you're looking for some money. You know. Like he said, and I've been worried about this for the last 2 months, and Jane, am I worried now? You get it? I've just blown it. Good morning, Mr. Murphy. It's Declan Flood here. You know, oh. Now this is serious. You understand? So maybe it's not just the words we use, it's how we use them. And as I say, 99% of the time in business, it's as friendly as you can possibly be. Sorry, there is one other question that cracks me up, and the fact that you're only on the course for an hour will give you no excuse. One question I never want to hear asked ever again. Are you ready for this? Hello? Can you put me through to your accounts department? Has anybody ever asked that question? See, that's another stupid question. No, you have. No! No, remember I said, business-to-business communications is about relationships, getting to know people, having somebody at the other end of the phone, having a friend in all your customers' businesses who look after your payment every month. So if I don't know who my friend is in this particular business, then my mission is to find out who it is. So when I get, hello, ABC Limited, Mary speaking, I go, hi Mary, it's Declan here from XYZ. Mary, can you tell me who is the person who's after the payment of our account? And receptionists know everything. Everything. They are the source of all the gossip in it. They know everything. And what the receptionist doesn't know, the cleaner knows. And between those two, that's all you need to know about a company. The MD and the FD know nothing. They only know what people tell them. It's not alright. So if you want to get information on the company, receptionist, cleaner, and maybe the lads in the back door or the van drivers, they know the world. So if you want to get information on a company, that's the right place to go. Is that alright? Who looks after the payment again? Well, that'll be Joe. Oh, great, thanks very much. Joe, now I have a contact name. Yeah? Great. Can you put me through to Joe? Now I've achieved my first purpose. And then you go, hello, accounts. You go, hello, Joe. Yeah? Joe, how are you? Second here. Yeah? And now I'm building rapport straight away. And do I chat? No. Do I get into a small talk? You know, yeah, there's people you're talking to every month. It's nice to know, look, are you going anywhere nice on holidays? Or, you know, just to keep it, if it's an ongoing person you're talking to every month for the last 6 months. You know, if you find out, now I'm not talking about 20 minutes talking about Coronation Street last night or something, you know, that's not what you're being paid to do either. I'd spend a couple of minutes just to build that kind of rapport with them, because they will look after you. If they like you, they will make sure that you're in the payroll at the end of the month. And I know, I didn't admit to, I spent 3 years of my misspent youth in accounts payable. Yeah, I didn't admit to it. I'm the dark side, I was. And I remember from those 3 years, there was people that I really liked and I made sure they got their payments at the end of every month. And there was people I couldn't stand who I gloated in putting to the bottom of the list. You ignorant, horrible person. Ha! Serves your right for sending the wrong invoice. It's going in the bin. And then when you ring me next month looking for it, I'll ask you for a copy. And then when you ring me after that, then I'll tell you it's wrong. I can't say that people are quite capable of doing that too. So, you know, make sure that you build that rapport with them. So that's very important. So in terms of your volume and speed, what you hear, and then in terms of confidence yourself. Because a lot of people now, and again, I suppose, you see, it's a generational thing. You know, like in the old days, people used to call to people, you know, then they used to, you know, ring them, and now it's text messaging and all that sort of stuff. But look, the next thing is letter writing. Now, I know, look, I've heard of Dunning letters. Have you heard of Dunning letters? I hate them. You do, but I hate them. And I hate the content, and I hate the whole concept, and it's, like, that's not a personal communication. And I'd say the wording in the letter would probably make you cringe, or it'd make me cringe, because I'm very sensitive about words and things. So, you know, so look, if we are going to the trouble and expense of sending out letters, can we make sure they're worded correctly, that they're framed correctly, that they send out the right message? Okay? And there's a whole section on letter writing, emails, texting, how to structure it, how to do it. Let me just, I'll give you a heads up on that too before we go much further. The whole thing about a letter, an email, a text, whatever, it's three words that it must contain. And those three words are call to action. Tell them what you want them to do. And the other thing that I'll tell you is give them a deadline. And this is your internal, your sales guys and everything else. If you have a query and you say, John, can you approve this for credit? Yeah, I'm sure. Do you do that from time to time? Okay, what I want you to do is, I want you to add another bit to this. John, can you approve this for credit and drop it back to me before 4:30 tomorrow afternoon? It doesn't have to be 4:30 tomorrow afternoon. Give them a deadline. And the more specific you are, not by close the business on Tuesday, because I don't know when you close for business, I don't even know when you're open. Yeah? By 4:30 on Tuesday. Any instruction that you send out, you send it out. So if it's an email, if it's a thing, look, can you please check the balance and confirm that this will be paid on the 28th and let me know before 12:00 today, before 2:00 tomorrow. if you give people a deadline, they're 10 times more likely to respond than just leaving it open. Yeah? Because think about it. Do you work to deadlines? Of course you do. And if there wasn't a deadline, you'd never get that done. So, give people deadlines. So that's your letter writing. Meeting people face to face, door to door. Does anybody do that? Do you?
Yeah, I do sometimes.
Yeah. Turn up.
I meet them. Yeah, I sometimes turn up, yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
That shocks them.
Yeah.
Look, the alternative is you give a debt collector 25% of the debt. No, you do it for 10. It's all those bad debts there. Give me 5%. Go on, I won't be greedy. 5% of those. So, yeah. Oh, no, and it is. That's great crack. You know, and getting out to meet people. And as a credit manager, I suppose just give you a bit of my background if you want. I started life as a credit controller. I won't tell you when because you won't believe I'm that old. And I was credit manager then with companies like Green Isle Foods. You've probably heard of Green Isle. Companies like Unilever, I was there for a few years, and I was also with, well, IAWS in old money. It was Shamrock Foods, and looked after the Master Foods and all that sort of stuff. So it's a lot in the food distribution and all that kind of business. So I'd be fairly familiar with it, and I had great crack, you know, and I loved it. I had a great career in it, and yeah, I turned up on people's doorsteps, and some people hated me and. Care, yeah, I'm here to do a job, and it is a great crack. The next section, and this to me, and I'm going to apologise in advance because I kind of got this is number five now. I kind of got a bit carried away, and to be honest with you, in the next 6 weeks I'm probably not going to get to rewrite it, so you're stuck with it. Personality types, ah, lads, there are a definite number of personality types. Have you done any of these personality profile tests or any of those Myers-Briggs? Or have you ever done anything like that? Ah, oh, it's absolutely fantastic. So, and I present four questions now I can ask you. So I ask you four questions and you pick A or B. Yeah? And from those, your choices in A and B for those four questions, I can then tell you everything about yourself. You will be stunned. You go, oh my God, how did you know that? Because personality, there is definite personality types. All right? And there are exercises that I give you in. So, number one, to discover your own personality type, and two, how you can work out other people's. Because chances are, there are people on the planet that you don't like. Are there people on the planet you don't like? And there's people on the planet that you do like, I hope, as well, and hopefully a few more of them, which is grand. What you will find is it all comes down to personality type. So people like people who are like them. You like people who are like you. Of course you do, because that's the perfect person. And the more like you they are, the more perfect they become. Isn't that true? And people we don't like are people who are the opposite to us. So if I'm very detailed, as you can get, I'm not. But if I'm really, you know, I'll talk about myself. I'm not a detailed person at all. Yeah, details bore me. I love big pictures. I'll start the most ambitious of projects that would scare half the planet away because I love that. Will I ever finish it? No, because I'll get bored halfway through. Yeah. And then there's other people who are so detailed, getting all their I's dotted and T's crossed. Yeah? And so, would the two of us enjoy a pint on a Friday? Probably not, you know, because we're so... I learned fairly early on in my managerial career that... Because a lot of bosses employ people who are like them. And now you have all these sort of same personalities and the business is going to rock and roll. Imagine five of me running around a company. So what I discovered early on was, I need these detailed people. I need the finishers. And they need me to start things and I need them to finish things. And if we can work together, you know, so you might be naturally drawn to them by understanding, Asher, look, that's the personality type. What would you expect? And sometimes you might think people are rude. It's just a personality. So once you understand it, then you can make allowances for it and get it there. And then not only do we get into personality types, I also get into processing. Have you ever heard of NLP? Heard the letters NLP? NLP stands for Neuro-Linguistic Programming. And it's kind of a new, it's around since the 80s, 90s kind of, in terms of human communication. So I do a little bit of that in terms of the auditory, visual, kinesthetic, trying to sort of work out people's, because each person processes information differently. And if I know how you process information, I can give you information in a way that you can understand. Do you understand? So, for example, some people are visual, right? So they take the world in through their eyes. Some people are auditory, they take information in through their ears. So, two totally different types of people. So, the auditory people will tell you that the pictures are better on the radio. Yeah? Because they get to make the pictures themselves, and it's far, far better. You get it? So, and some people will say, I'll see you later. It's giving you a clue. They're visual. Look forward to hearing from you. And there's these throwaway comments that we use all the time, and now suddenly we go, oh, yeah, that's the second visual reference they made. Yeah? And can you show me how to do this? You know? So show, or can you teach me? You know, so there's different words that people use. And if you can pick up, are they visual, auditory, whatever? Because, and you see some examples of people who are diametrically opposed, they can't communicate with each other. It's like a different language. If I'm talking visual and you're talking auditory, we will not communicate. So once I know how to communicate with people, I can get them. Is that all right? Then we get into the reasons. And again, the three big reasons. People who can't pay because they don't have any money. How do I deal with them? Usually have to negotiate and deal with them. People who won't pay. The brats have it, but they don't want to part with it. Yeah? And they can be the hardest. You know, so how do I deal with them? I'll give it to you in one word how you deal with the won't pays. Consequences. It's fine. If you don't pay, grant. Yeah. David, if you don't pay, this is what's going to happen. Yeah, look, grand. Like, if you want the solicitors knocking on the door and the bailiffs going in, fine. I don't want to do that. I don't want to drag this through the courts and ruin your credit rating for the rest of your life. It's up to you. So, if you want to go to that route, fine. If you want to talk to me.
Using that and using credit rating as a threat these days, people just don't care about the credit rating anymore.
It's
a garden thing, they just don't care about it.
They do care.
Yeah, but
you see, it depends on how you approach me. And if you say, Deck, pay me or I'll sue you, I'll say, sue me. Because you've attacked my power. Are you with me? And you say, if you don't pay me, I'll sue you. Well, yeah, well, go ahead and sue me then. Because I have to respond. You know, now, I might pretend, oh, geez, I hope you don't sue me. But I put on a brave face when I'm talking to you, because I have to. Whereas if you give me a choice, say, Deck, look, you have two choices here. Either one, talk to me and we'll deal with it. Or two, it'll be taken off my desk and the legal guys, and you know what they're like, and the costs and the reputational damage and all that sort of stuff. And you're obviously liable for the costs too. So look, if you want to go that way, fair enough. I think it'd be better to talk. What do you think? Yeah, well, maybe. Yeah, look. Okay, no, times are tough, things are hard. So talk to me. What can you do? How can we solve this? And then we get into the next stage, which is negotiations. Did I actually say that? No, it does. Within the can't pays, yeah, negotiation skills. So we get into how we negotiate with people. Yeah? Have to do it. We all negotiate. All day long. We either accept what people give us or we negotiate. And here's the thing. Oh, we want to negotiate for a win-win. You idiot. Yeah, so hold on a second. If something costs a euro, yeah? And we're negotiating, so I want to sell to you for euro, you want to buy it for euro, right? If you get it for 1 cent, that's a win-win. If you get it for 99 cents, that's a win-win. true. If I'm selling it, I prefer 99 than 1. So don't talk about win-wins. It's how much can we win, you know? So that's about, and it's all about a process of negotiating with people to bring them to where you want them to be and make them think it's their idea. It's good with bosses as well, by the way. So that's that. So can't pay, no money, I'll deal with you. Won't pay, have us, won't hang on to us, I'll deal with you. And then the third part, which is internal, the shouldn't pays. If you send out an invoice with no order number, wrong prices, wrong quantities, sent to the wrong department, sorry, that customer shouldn't pay if you've got it wrong. And I'd say your legal firm, I'd say your biggest problem is not sending out bills at all.
Oh, no, we do. We do.
I would say if I added up tomorrow, if you let me in on Monday morning to walk around and talk to all your partners, what work they have done in the last 6 months that they haven't billed for at all, it would run to hundreds of thousands, if not millions.
No, we're not the work.
Are you? You must be good then.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the first firm I've ever come across.
Yeah.
You mentioned unbilled work. You're on the wall.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, well, that's fair enough. So, I'm glad that's sort as well. Shouldn't pay those where you do something wrong. You send out the wrong fee, or wrong charge, or wrong whatever. So getting it right is what it's all about. But again, how do I deal with that? And to be honest with you, apologise. Oops. So the ball is back in your court though, fix it and then get paid. Sometimes though people, I love that I should have said that out loud. The two reasons, so there's the three main reasons why they won't pay. The two reasons, the reason they tell you and the real reason. That's great to know. Oh yeah, can you send me a copy? That's just telling you to go away without telling you to go away. Yeah? So if you can send them a copy while you're on the phone and say, oh, absolutely, and I'd give a small chance. Oh, that's a good chance. And look, is everything else okay? Like, is that the only reason you're not paying me? Yeah, absolutely. So look, give me your email address there. That's fine. Okay, so now he's just told me the only reason he's not paying me is that he hasn't got an invoice. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, look, I get this. In fact, I banged that on the email now. Are you on your email? Yeah? Can you just check? Oh, yeah, has that come in? Yeah, can you see the invoice? Yeah, so now, has it come in? He's looking at his Outlook. Can you see the invoice? Yes, I can. Can you just open that there? Yeah, so now I've run 3 steps I want to do. So hold on, he told me 2 minutes ago the only reason he wasn't paying me was he didn't have an invoice. Now he's just confirmed he has an invoice. So now can I have one? Can you pay me now? I have to get the boss to... You see, now we're getting to the real reason. Yeah? And if you get fobbed off by the first one, yeah, they'll be laughing at you. You know, because they know the other one. Okay, so stages of the call. So there's a start and a middle and an end to every call. And just, I'll give you the heads up on that now. The call ends with, the call ends with what I call a commitment. I want a promise. I either want your card number, or I want, it'll be in your account on Friday, or I'll send it out on Tuesday, or I want a date. And if we start every call friendly, happy, deal with whatever issues, and then end it with, okay, Joe, so look, tell me what's the story here? When will I have it? Either I'll ask them, or I'll tell them. Look, Friday's the end of the month. We need is a great word. So look, we need that here by Friday. Yeah? So that's that. Stage 12, emotion, logic and power. I think you like that section as well. Then I know it's collections, but there's a few little bits that aren't covered in law that I just thought as collectors you need to know. Data protection. Now it's only a very big overview. Obviously that's GDPR now, is all over the place. So it's not as scary as you think. It can be. Fines are kind of scary if you get it wrong. Fines, what is it? What are the fines? 20 million are 4% of your global turnover, whichever is the biggest. Yes, that's fine. And you know, they will pick somebody just to make a show of them.
Yeah.
Absolutely going to make an example.
They are. You have to make an example, because up to now, the Data Protection Commissioner has had no teeth whatsoever. They've had a couple of small claims, and I don't think, has anybody actually been fined under that? I don't think so. I think Bank of Ireland got a very severe slap on the wrist for losing the laptop, and a credit union in Tullamore.
The medical companies are strictly regulated, and they fall under the data protection, but it's a different commissioner, so they get fined constantly.
They get fined. Oh yeah, but it's not directed to data protection.
It's not directly for him, but it's it falls under that category.
The brief. So, yeah, watch this. It's not going to be you or me. It's going to be Bank of Ireland. It's going to be Google or Facebook. Or they're going to pick a big boy and sue them for 20 million just to make a show of somebody, just to show they're serious. The thing about it is, though, if I give you my personal email address and I start getting marketing material from, you know, something, and I can ask you, where did you get my material? You know, and if I suspect you, I can report to the Data Protection Commissioner and they can do an audit and stuff. So it can get a bit messy. Anyway, but look, I'm not going to get into it, but there's a few stuff. Corporate insolvency, just from a collections perspective, collection through the court from a collections perspective, just that you know the next steps, you know, when you are talking to somebody in terms of what would happen. MABS is from a consumer debt. Wouldn't be friends of theirs, and they wouldn't be friends of mine. That's neither here nor there. And then finally, the last chapter, being effective, stress, how we deal with that, how we stay sane, staying in control of the situation, setting out your priorities, dealing with return checks and direct debits. That should be a red flag. If something bounces, I'm on it straight away. You know, I was in a company last week. Do you know what they did? The person who is in charge of the direct debits, yeah? So she sends off the direct debits. She represented the same direct debit 7 times. 7 times. I go, what? And it was 400 quid the first time, and then it bounced. So it was 600 quid the second time, and it bounced. And it was 900 quid the third. And she kept presenting it. Oh, yeah, why did she put that through? Oh, because it came back the last time. And they were still sending them stuff. Here, come on. So, anyway, don't get me started. There's things that upset me, and people deal with it. So return checks, direct debits, how do we deal with them? And then I go into, look, if all the good stuff I teach you on collections all falls on deaf ears and they still won't pay you, what's next? You know, and there is a time, you know, in terms of third-party agencies, and I'm including solicitors and legal firms and all that there. So obviously, hopefully we'll get 99% of the money within terms or, you know, within a reasonable time. There comes a point where, look, I am wasting my time here. I've rang, I've phoned, I've sent letters, messages, texts. I've gone absolutely nowhere. I haven't time for this. Love to. I've another 800 customers to look after. I can't be spending time on this one. And I don't know what my advice is. I tell you, I do know what my advice is, and I'll give it to you. You have a choice between a debt collector and a legal firm. Yeah? I think a debt collector is kind of just adding a bit more. I'd nearly go straight legal. Don't know what you're thinking. You're pretty biased, but anyway. you know, can sometimes debt collectors start the process all over again, and you're like, ah, lads, here. And do they have that much success, and they're taking a huge whacking commission? Now, yeah, maybe they have door-to-door collectors who collect 20 quid. It doesn't really... If you find a good one, tell me, because I'm only 30-odd years of this and I haven't found one yet. Is that all right? And some, and just even the power of a solicitor's letter, like, ooh, really, they're serious. Because the reason they don't take you seriously. And sorry, that is the note I'm going to leave you on. And I'm 6 minutes over. The one thing is, if you send out a 7-day notice that says, if you don't pay in 7 days, we will refer this matter to our legal department, then you refer the matter to the legal department on the 7th day. You have to follow through what you say. Are you with me? Oh, don't pay, we sue you. Don't pay, we sue you. Don't pay, we sue you. And 4 months later, they're never going to sue me. Because if they were, they would have done it by now. You understand? Whereas if I say, look, watch this space. Next Friday, if that money is not on my desk, at 4:30, that file is going to our solicitors. Now, that's 7-day notice. Friday, 4:30, read my lips. It's going. You know, so be, you know, just follow through. Don't threaten stuff if you can't follow through. And if you do say it, then follow through. Is that all right? And do it. and have fun with it. Come on, life is very short, and we have to enjoy it. And nobody else will recognise the job that you're doing, because bosses don't really understand credit control. So you have to generate your own enthusiasm internally, and hopefully I'll help you to do a bit of that as well. Is that all right? So look, I'm going to switch off this now.